football game happened for the Broncos and the Saints. You no doubt have talked and regurgitated and talked and more and more and more and more about the situation that transpired yesterday between the Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints. There's a lot to get to here. Let me just, I'll just fire off the Power to Play sports poll question. We'll get to it. Who looks worse after Sunday's Saints-Broncos game? Who walks away from this looking worse, looking rough at this stage? The Broncos quarterbacks, Vic Fangio, the NFL, or the Broncos as an organization? Because there's a lot of talk about, well, if Pat Bowlen was alive, this never would have happened. Let me just say this. All respect in the world to Pat Bowlen, and I tend to agree with that. It's 2020, man. Nothing makes any sense anymore. So you can say that, and it might be true. We'll never know. But this is all uncharted territory, everything we're dealing with here today. And I think that, you know, when you look at the situation yesterday, it was an embarrassment. An absolute and utter failure. From the NFL, and if you want to say it's Drew Locke and the quarterbacks too, and Vic Fangio, you can say that. I mean, we can make a case for them being all right. They're in a tough spot. But this was ultimately the NFL. This is your product. You have the power to delay games. Oh, and surprise, for like the eighth time in a row, Drew Locke, Brett Rypien, Blaine Gabbert all tested negative for coronavirus. They tested negative again today. So you could have moved this game to Tuesday. But the NFL wasn't about that, Colfax. They wanted to make an example of the Broncos. I think I heard one commentator say, the NFL took the Broncos over their knee and smacked their bottoms on national television for doing the wrong thing. And from what we know, And this is per Drew Locke's statement, and nothing has been disproven. This is how my brain is picturing this. Now, if this ends up being wrong, then we'll talk about it. They're in the quarterback's room, which I'm told from a very reliable source that I've never been inside there. From a very reliable source that you can fit up to 50 to 100 people in there. You could be snug. So having 3, 4, 5 guys in there at one point easily can accomplish the social distancing rules, which I'm told that they did. But Drew Locke, in a statement, said, we had masks. A few times we let it drift below our nose and mouth, maybe, and it became the chin diaper status. Now, here's where I go with all of this. The inconsistencies rear their ugly head again, and this isn't even about 2020. This is the NFL, Colfax. We can't even expect them to get a catch rule correctly. Their suspensions are all over the place. Smoke weed, you're out for half the season. Take air out of a football, allegedly, you're out for 4 games. Beat your girlfriend, you're out for 2. Oh, wait a second, we saw the whole video, you're out for a season. No, I'm never letting that go. You do it once, you show how bad of a leader you are. And the NFL has been like this since Roger Goodell has been in charge. Inconsistent punishments. Vic Fangio was fined for not wearing a mask. Why wasn't he pulled from the sidelines? John Gruden was fined. The Raiders were fined for not wearing a mask, and they lost a draft pick. Their coach still got to be on the sidelines. I mean, Cam Newton, I shared this on Twitter. Cam Newton, a week or so, the timeline's a little fuzzy, but he got coronavirus before the Broncos played the Patriots, correct? Before that, Cam Newton, you know, the famous meme now where he's on the bench sitting shoulder to shoulder with two players, and he kind of gives one player a look like, come on, man. And he like slithers down the bench. You know, you've seen the meme. It's funny. He didn't have a mask. Two guys next to him didn't have a mask. Brady, it's outside. Okay, but we're all told social distancing is like the most important. I mean, which one is it? The masks or social distancing? I think that if you had to pick one, it'd be social distancing, right? That's the most important. So these players, whether they're outside or inside, they weren't practicing that. None of them are. I mean, some players are wearing masks now. You're seeing it. But for my knowledge, they're not told they have to wear masks on the sidelines. The coaches are. Oh, they're older, Brady. All right. But they don't have to wear a mask next to each other on the bench. but in a room where they can separate from each other, knowing it. I mean, it was filmed. They were filmed in there. You got to know that. It's an NFL organization. Everything's filmed. There's no other way around this. The Broncos got screwed big time. An embarrassment for the Broncos, and it's an embarrassment for the league. That was a crap product. And this is not at all on who the Broncos had at quarterback. Kendall Hinton was awesome. He was bad, but awesome at the same time. He was 1 for 9, 13 yards, 2 interceptions. He was sacked once. He was annihilated several times. You talk about safety. You're forcing us to put a guy in the game that has never taken a snap in the NFL in a game or practice otherwise, ever. He's a wide receiver now. And you're telling me about safety? That guy's lucky to get it. I'm telling you what, man, if Kendall Hinton comes out of that game with some kind of injury, the Broncos would maybe even have a lawsuit on their hands. Maybe. What is the most important position in sports? You're going to argue with me that it's goalie and pitcher, but you're throwing quarterback up there. What is the most important position in football? Quarterback. You might as well have just forced the Broncos to take an L on this, because that's what you did. Only you put everybody at risk. Everybody was at risk because of this. And this is, again, it's not on Kendall Hinton. He did everything he was asked to do and then some. I for one, think that in this crappy year, we come out of this more unified as a Broncos fan base, because you want to talk about us against the world? There has never been more of a case than that, than the Broncos. I hope Denver wins out. It's not likely. I hope they take this and they run with it, and they use this as the biggest motivator in the world. But again, it's the talent's not there this year. The coaching is not there. So here's Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, as you remember, was already fined for not wearing a mask. Here's what he had to say about his quarterbacks not wearing a mask and ultimately losing quarterbacks for the game.
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position, that it put, our quarterbacks put the league in that position. We count on them to be the leaders of the team and, you know, leaders of the offense. And those guys made a mistake, and that is disappointing.
I mean, it's not like it was a scathing report, you know. I don't know that he said the wrong thing necessarily, but you're the head coach. And I think there was another comment in there where he said something along the lines of, you know, I suppose I didn't do a good enough job of making it, you know, a big enough deal to wear the mask. So I suppose you could put some of that on me. All of it is on you. You're the head coach. I listen, hard job as it is, I've said it. College, pros, you're going to be judged on how you handle this COVID stuff. You are. A lot of it is going to be judged on that. Well, you were actually fined for it. Did you learn your lesson? Sure, you could argue that. Everybody gets a second chance. Listen, it's 2020. I don't care. People don't wear their masks. Now they do. They don't. They do. They don't. We've been told so many different things. It's hard for me to look at a person. Like some of you guys are on Twitter, Drew Locke's trying to kill people. Here's a clip. Colfax, I don't have his name. The guy from ESPN, you've seen him all over the place. He's on it. I'm sorry, but we got this from the Four Letter Network. He just went at the Denver Broncos quarterbacks and Drew Locke.
Well, nothing's more expensive than a missed opportunity. And that's what this was for the backup quarterbacks and really the starter for the Denver Broncos. As a young player, as a young backup quarterback in the NFL, I used to pray to God for just the chance to get on the field. Because sometimes your opportunity is just luck, that it just happens that you get a chance to start in the NFL. And so many guys never get that chance, and they have a year or two career, and then they're gone. So guys like Brett Rypien and Blake Bortles, who's trying to get back into the NFL, and Drew Locke, for you guys not to do the simple thing of wearing your mask is a shame on you. You can't sit there and go, man, I wish I would have gotten my chance. You had your chance, and you blew it because you couldn't do something as simple as having self-discipline to follow the protocol that's handed down from the NFL. You can't go home and tell your buddies or tell your girlfriend or tell your wife, I never got my opportunity. Yeah, you did. You blew it. because you couldn't wear a mask. And Drew Locke, this is the most concerning thing I've ever seen from you since you've come into the NFL. How can I trust you to be the CEO of the billion-dollar company that I run and you can't wear a mask? I don't care if you don't want to. I don't care if you don't like it, and I don't care if you agree with it. You have to do what you have to do what you want to do. And this is a missed opportunity by all the quarterbacks for the Denver Broncos. You let down your team. You let down yourself. Shame. Shame on you.
Shame. Shame on you. My goodness. First off, CEO of a billion-dollar company, I don't think so. I mean, in fact, we're all still wondering if Drew Locke is the quarterback of the future with or without a mask. We're all still there. That, to me, I'm sorry, but that should not factor into the decision going forward. I have seen quarterbacks in this league, you know, get in trouble, do bad things. Michael Vick was in prison for 2 years and got a second shot. So stop with this whole, you missed your opportunity. What opportunity? Drew Locke's been the starting quarterback now for a season's worth of games. He didn't miss an opportunity. We're making this too extreme. Michael Vick was thrown in prison for 2 years for dog abuse and fighting, illegal fighting and all that stuff, and came back and played. So stop it. You think that they missed an opportunity because they didn't wear a mask and the NFL said, oh, nope, your quarterbacks are too much of an issue, even though they tested negative before and after the game. So now you don't even have to have COVID. You have to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. Okay, I get they're all in the quarterback's room. They're there. You know, they were too, it was, you can't move this game to Tuesday. You can't move this game around. No, you wanted to make an example of the Broncos. I am not necessarily giving Drew Locke and the quarterback crew a pass. But then I shouldn't be giving anyone a pass. Okay, Hooligans, before you disagree with me today, Google coaches not wearing masks. That's it. I already tried it. Google coaches not wearing masks. You will see NFL head coaches every single week with masks at their chin, below their nose, below their mouth. They take it down to talk to a ref, then they put it back up. No, the mask is supposed to stop saliva coming out of your mouth. So when you talk, saliva comes out of your mouth. When you pull the mask down, you have a better chance of giving someone coronavirus when you talk to a ref up close. And then when the ref goes away, you put it back up. Protection. If you're going to fine, suspend, or whatever you want to call it, ban Drew Locke from practice and games, and Brett Rypien, and Blaine Gabbert, then you need to be consistent up and down the board. Outside, inside, upside down, wherever you are. Because the NFL says coaches have to wear masks on the sidelines. No exceptions. Or a visor, apparently. But when they let it drop, like Drew Locke allegedly did, shouldn't they be told to leave, just like Drew Locke? This is why it's all inconsistent, folks. Is it a Broncos thing? Some are saying, you know, there's no respect for this organization anymore. They don't have an owner. Sure, the Broncos don't have a lot of clout in the NFL anymore. And we can go there if you'd like. But the bottom line is this is, again, another inconsistency in the NFL. Why in the hell would you trust the National Football League to get this right when they can't get their own stuff right? They never do. I'm so frustrated. That game yesterday, some of you are like, ah, this is the most excited I've ever been to watch a Broncos game. You shouldn't have been. It was trash. It was embarrassing. You're lucky your quarterback didn't get hurt. Annihilated. Kendall Hinton is awesome. Not because of his performance, because of what he was willing to do. Dude, these guys are out to hurt you. He hasn't been tackled in 2 years. He has not been tackled in 2 years. You have the best run-stopping defense, one of the best run-stopping defenses in the NFL going at you. I got a lot of respect for that guy. Cameron Jordan, with one finger, nearly launched Kendall Hinton across the field. Several times. He tweeted out he had mad respect for him, which is great, you know, that you should. But you can get hurt. This is one of the most dangerous games in the world. And you're putting a guy out there that's never done this at this level, even in practice. And you're okay with that. But you're moving this Ravens game. Now it's tomorrow. The Ravens haven't practiced since last Saturday. Last Saturday. Very difficult situation for Denver. Very frustrating. Not sure what you do at this stage. First Advantage text line 31996. Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good, and we're going to talk about this on the football side, but if you're a Buffs fan today, you are very happy. Your Colorado Buffaloes football team, they're 3-0. Your Colorado basketball team is 2-0. They got a big one against Arizona coming up, my game of the week. But, yeah, Buffs fans, you're thrilled about the weekend.
There's Jarek Broussard off the hash, steps out of a tackle, spins outside to the 35-yard line, and he's all the way to the 36-yard line. The Buffs are 4-9 on third down. There's a handoff to Broussard. He's got the first down along the seam on the near side. He weaves through Einstecks and picks up a first down. Neuer turns, hands off Jarek Broussard, runs off the left side. He bounces up the pile. He's got room to run. He runs at the 40, cuts inside the defender at the 30, and he breaks away from a would-be tackler at the 25, and finally down inside the 25.
There's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, thanks to Learfield Properties as well with the call. Jarek Broussard is a monster, 32 carries. Am I falling in love with Carl Durrell and this whole style of football? I absolutely am. That wasn't it, though. McKinley Wright, he's back, folks. He's ready to go in the first round. He's showcasing his talent.
She's up court left to right with the head of steam. Circles back around. Shovels off the batty late in the transition. Makes the grab and lays it up with the right hand. That was an outstanding feed that time by McKinley Wright.
McKinley Wright! Man, he's good. Love watching that guy play basketball. All right, the bad. I know we don't have a clip here. I am so fed up with inconsistencies, it hurts my little tiny, tiny brain. CSU could not play CU 2 weeks ago because of the Mountain West Pac-12. I don't know. Upwards is down. Corn is up. Cornfields. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of words now. But CU gets to play San Diego State, a Mountain West school. As much as I liked that game, I don't understand. I know the Buffs were holding out, waiting to see if they could play a Pac-12 team. Please, someone explain some things to me. And the ugly, Colfax, there's no getting around it. I would say 100% of the time, if you don't have an actual quarterback on your team, you're going to lose.
And here he is, the first time he touches the ball in an NFL game, and under pressure right away, probably makes the smart move and gets rid of it. Hinton back in. He's a good dual threat quarterback in his high school and college days, but he takes a big Quan Alexander hit. Hinton, 0-for-7 with a pick. There's his first NFL completion, and it's Noah Fant. And it's good for a first down.
That was beautiful, wasn't it? That was a beautiful completion. The Broncos now have two records. They're 1-2 of the most, of first half with zero completions, first halves. Tim Tebow owns one of those. But at least he ran for a touchdown, and then he threw a touchdown, and I think they won that game. I'm not sure. But this was rough. Rough go, an embarrassment for the league. Pete texting in, Broncos quarterbacks let their masks slip down for a moment and get suspended for a game. Denver mayor travels around the country during Turkey Week while telling the rest of the world to stay home and stop the spread. And zero consequences. We live in a world of absolute crap. Yeah, I mean, it is. The NFL, you know, that's their own little bubble of what they can do. You do have a lot of inconsistencies, though. And you have inconsistencies within the NFL. Be consistent. That's all I'm asking. Even if I don't like some of the rules, consistency is huge. And when you're inconsistent, it's divisive. It's frustrating. But Broncos country, how are you feeling today? Text us on our First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. We got a lot to get to today, Colfax. I'm going to hook you guys up, though. Check this out. Manweiler Appliance, they're playing Santa this year. They're giving away a Broiler King gas grill valued at $500. All you got to do is stop by Manweiler Appliance in downtown Windsor, register to win. That's it. No purchase necessary. You can check out the showroom. You might as well. It's awesome. All you got to do is sign a slip, enter it in the sled, and you are entered to win a grill, a Broiler King gas grill for $500. Could be yours. Local odds, 12:25 the time. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, CSU, where are we with that? CU played a game against San Diego State. I want to talk about the game, but also talk about another inconsistency in college. This is why separate conferences. I mean, we need a ruling, someone to rule this thing. Everybody makes their own damn rules, and I'm tired of it.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Breckenridge Brewery, and I love this. I'm already in the mode, man. Christmas Ale. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru. It's open until midnight every night. Do you want to throw this out? Molly Brown Spirits from Denver. Bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey. It's only at On the Rocks Liquor. Don't know of any other place that stocks this. So if you want to try that or if you love it, stop by On the Rocks. And one more note, the first annual Brew Talk Awards show presented by On the Rocks Liquor. Go vote at 1310kfk.com. You get a coupon just for voting. So you go in there, you get it, and you're going to get a deal off of your next purchase over at On the Rocks Liquor just by voting. Your favorite brewery, favorite seasonal beer, favorite beer overall. It's a great thing. It's a nice way to highlight local businesses, too, in a year that has kind of destroyed local companies, like breweries especially. So show them some love. Go vote. Get your favorite one out there. Let it be known. All right, Colfax, I tell you what, we're up against it here. I took way too long in that first segment. I got a lot to hit today. Mark Knudsen's coming up next. We are going to talk to Zach Stevens in the first hour as well, so we're going to pack a punch here in the next half hour. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here, Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Just a lot of aftermath from the weekend that was. It was a crazy weekend. Not just the Broncos side of things, but, you know, what happened with Colorado, what didn't happen with CSU and UNC, as we're still waiting to see when basketball is going to pick up again. But we hear the Nuggets are getting back at it as far as training camp goes this week. That's crazy, right? That's nuts. So a lot of great news, a lot of weird news, a lot of bad news. Mark Knudsen joining us to talk a little bit about everything. Mark, my friend, how are you?
Well, when things are nuts, I'm the guy you go to, right? I'm the nuts guy.
It's all over the board, man. It's just absolutely crazy.
It just all fits into 2020, and I wrote this back in April. It's all going to leak into 2021. There was no way to avoid it. I mean, even talking about the Olympics are going to be this summer in 2021. So everything's just, you know, you'd hope that the damage, that maybe at some point we get back to what we used to call normal, but that's a long ways away.
Mark, what do you think about, and again, I'm not really, as far as what you think about Drew Locke and letting the mask slip, and I get it. On the one side, there's people that are furious, how dare he. I'm more concerned right now about the inconsistencies in the league. I watch NFL games all the time, and I see the same thing. There are coaches that let the mask slip down. There are players on the sidelines that don't wear it. And they're right next to each other. They fine coaches for not wearing it, yet if Drew Locke lets it slip, he doesn't get to play a game. I just have a hard time with all these inconsistencies.
Yeah, and on one hand, I agree. But on one hand, it's hard to blame them because they have no blueprint to go off of, right? It's not like this is what we've done before in past pandemics. There hasn't been one. So they are just going, you know, by seat of their pants right now. But you're right. The inconsistency really bothers me. I'm thinking about this last night. I'm watching the – I don't usually watch football, but I wanted to hear what Mike Florio had to say about the Broncos situation. And so I'm watching, and Aaron Rodgers is having a great game, right? He's out there. He's wearing a mask on the sideline, and he's not around anybody. I'm thinking, He can go into a huddle with 10 other guys, but he has to wear a mask when he's on the sideline. That's just, the inconsistency is really, really weird right now. Of course, today we hear everything's shut down league-wide now. The Saints are getting fined $6 million, but they got to play their quarterback yesterday.
Right.
I mean, it's just bizarre. The Broncos, what bothers me the most about the Broncos is that they self-reported this violation. It was on video. They found this on video, these guys letting their mask slips in a meeting room. They reported on, and they get hammered. I'm sorry, but when you're talking about losing all your quarterbacks for a game, and I know I heard all the nonsense. Mike Kliss was talking about it last night about the league. Said, well, this was a competitive situation, not a fielding a team situation. Didn't the Patriots game get moved back a week so Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore could play?
Right, and the Broncos were told that was their bye after the week had already taken place.
So, I mean, it's hard to fathom how they're doling out justice. You know, I mean, it's not consistent, as you said, but it's also, I think, pointed. I think the Broncos, and George Karl tweeted this yesterday, and he's absolutely right. In fact, I wrote about it in the blog today. If Pat Bowlen was still alive, this doesn't happen to the Broncos. I firmly believe that. Don't tell me Robert Kraft's status in the league didn't have some impact on how the Patriots situation was dealt with. On the flip side, the league is getting a little sick and tired of Joe Ellis's games, right? I mean, and it's not really Joe Ellis's games anymore because the court's involved now. But they came out last week with a mandate that you have to have an owner with skin in the game and he has to be a single voice and all that. But we've been violating that rule for 2 years now, and even really more than that since basically Pat Bowlen turned over every day-to-day operations to these guys, to these clowns in the trust. I mean, this has been a totally mismanaged thing from the Broncos standpoint. I think the league's getting a little sick of it. I think they're sending a message with this discipline, and it was horribly unfair. It made a mockery of the football game. I guess that was a football game that only Paul Hornung would have loved. I wish he was still alive. He would have loved that game because he was the last great single wing tailback, right? And he would have loved watching Taysom Hill play on one side and Philip Lindsay take and Roy Freeman taking snaps on the other side. I mean, that was single wing football we saw yesterday, and he would have loved it. But the rest of us didn't have much taste for it.
No, and I'll admit, right before the game, there's part of me I'm really curious to how the Broncos are going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
But then we see it out on the field, and it's like, of course not. You know, they're not going to be able to do much with this. And I've been very critical of Pat Shurmur, but I mean, your hands are tied. You're told the night before that you have no quarterbacks, and that is a huge thing. It's likely it's top five, top three most important position in all of sports.
Yeah, you think about it. If they'd had a week, they could have done a Mike McCoy and John Fox thing and switched the offense for Tim Tebow.
Right.
But they couldn't do that because they didn't have any practice time with this kid. And God bless him, he went out there and did the best he could. But he's a little bitty guy, and it wasn't going to work no matter what. The Saints could load the line of scrimmage. Here's the only thing I would have done if I was Pat Shurmur. On the very first play of the game, Philip Lindsay would have dropped back and thrown deep.
Right.
That's not the only thing. I mean, just show him you're going to throw it. Show him you're going to throw it. I don't care if you're a great quarterback. Show him you're not going to just run it every single time.
Yeah, I'm down.
That was my only criticism, because otherwise, you're right, they were dealt an impossible hand yesterday.
I feel like they were going to maybe throw it with the direct snap to Philip Lindsay late when he fumbled, when the snap was bad by Cushenberry, and they almost ran it back for a touchdown. I was wondering if that was going to be a throw just by the body language or the way Philip was moving. But this was rough. All right, so our poll question's up, Mark. I mean, who does this look worse on at the end of the day? The quarterbacks, Vic Fangio, the Broncos organization, or the NFL?
The NFL by far. I don't think it's even close.
Yeah.
Fangio was put in a no-win situation. The quarterbacks made a mistake, but don't try to tell me that everybody else in the league's not doing the exact same thing.
They're doing it in front of our eyes, too.
Right. Back to your original point. They're doing exactly the same thing. Inconsistent as all hell. But they screwed up. The slap on the wrist would have been appropriate, but because nobody else is positive, right? They tested and they're all negative. They all could play. They all could have played if the game was tonight.
Right.
And the league doesn't bother to move the game back a day or two. They do for the Ravens and the Steelers. You know, 2 weeks ago, Ben Roethlisberger was in close contact with somebody. They benched him for the practice, and he got to play in the game on the weekend. So, I mean, it's just totally inconsistent. So I think the league by far comes out looking bad in this one.
And you go back to that whole Patriots situation. I mean, I shared this on Twitter. You know, Cam Newton shoulder to shoulder with everybody on the bench. And, it's a funny meme, and it's not really a personal attack on Cam. But it's, hey, you're allowed to sit. I don't care if you're outside or inside. Social distancing, we've been told since day one, is the most important thing. So they're crowded together. And, you know, he gets COVID. And nothing is said of it. And yet this whole thing inside the facility in a room. I mean, Mark, I don't know if you've been there, but the quarterback room, I'm told it's huge. I mean, you could fit easily 50 people in there. Right. So again, it's a, The more this has gone on, I mean, during the game, it was what it was. But as the game progressed, the more upset I think most of Broncos country got.
Well, if you listen to Dave Logan, he pretty much spoke for all of us.
Yeah.
He basically called it a farce. And yeah. He's right. And it was. And the NFL bears responsibility for that.
Should they have just called the game? Should they have just made them forfeit the game?
No, they should have just pushed it back till tonight or tomorrow night. They're dealing with other games.
If they were trying to send a message to Denver, though, and they were going to do something harsh, because that's basically what it was. It was a forfeit, but we're only going to put people's health in jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think a forfeit would have gone over. You got to have the TV revenue, right, ratings and the revenues and all that. They could have pushed it back. Or if they did what today, they fined the Saints and somebody else, Patriots, I think, got fined big today, and they shut down all the facilities. You know, the Ravens have this 20-some people outbreak in their facility, so they shut everything down. And they should, I mean, fines are going to send just as good a message. I mean, why do you let the Saints play yesterday if they're in violation, but you don't let the Bronco quarterbacks play? And then you don't find the Broncos, but you find the Saints. Yeah. It's bizarre. It makes sense.
It's wild, man. Mark, what do you have for us in your Three Strikes blog that we could check out?
Well, besides this topic, I wrote about a female place kicker I saw when my daughters were in high school. She ended up playing soccer at Regis. Her brother's in the MLS. Great soccer family. But I watched her one night at halftime of a football game walk out on the field with her friends, tee it up at the 40, and bang a 50-yarder through with lots to spare. And I wrote about her because I thought about her with the old Sarah Fuller thing. And, you know, everybody remembers Katie United, but Katie United's range was about an extra point. That's about all she could do. And she didn't play soccer. And that was a mistake on her part, I think. It would have made her a better option for a football kicker. But nonetheless, wrote about that. And also, I think your friend, a guy I like a lot, Joe Parker's days should be over.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because he's a nice man and we like him and he's good at some of his job, but as I wrote in the blog, I think he's lost the room now. He's lost everything. And with all this stuff going on, some of it's probably not true. Some of it is. But the point of the matter is I don't know how he can effectively lead that department anymore. It's sad to say, but I think it would be a change there at CSU.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I like him a lot. But I think at some point, whether it's like you said, whether it's on him or not, there's just enough there that it's like, okay, it's a perfect storm maybe, sure. But, yeah.
Yeah, bad, but the truth.
Appreciate you, Mark, as always, my friend. We'll look to catch up with you soon.
You got it. Talk to you next time.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, Colfax, we're going to take a short break. We are going to get into – I want to get into more details about this, too. We moved Zach Stevens up because he has some news here. He has to get into some press conferences. Garrett Bowles signs a 4-year contract. I think, you know, that's kind of been under the radar now because of everything. They did extend Garrett Bowles. Our question about who would you sign, Garrett Bowles, Justin Simmons, or Philip Lindsay? Well, the Broncos signed Garrett Bowles first. They're valuing Bowles over Justin Simmons and Philip Lindsay. So there's your answer. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for some football? Monday Night Football is right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
We're moving Zach around. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. We'll get him on in the second hour. He is he's going to be Zoom participating in a press conference for Garrett Bowles, so we want to make sure he gets there. Saw this moments ago. Coach Fangio doesn't envision, this is from his press conference today, doesn't envision a quarterback, an isolating a quarterback. So Coach Fangio said, I do not envision isolating a quarterback. Just says they need to follow the protocols. So they're not going to isolate Drew Locke, after all, like keep him away from everybody for a week for like 2 or 3 days or something like that. Not going to do that. Just right back at it. It doesn't make sense, folks. You know, you can't tell me that all of these guys that are wearing, you know, when you look at these coaches, when you look at these players, they're all wearing their masks 100% appropriately. It's really, really frustrating. I do want to tell you guys about SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is family and veteran owned. And as you probably have heard, interest rates are at all-time lows. So I believe now is the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you might have. Car loans, credit cards, that kind of thing. That interest is not tax deductible, and your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years. Call them today, 970-444-1222. You hear them all over the place. There's a good reason for that. They're damn good at what they do. You've been hearing about this company. Check out their website, myspecialmortgage.com. 52 minutes after the hour. A lot to still get to today. Let's look at the Colorado Buffaloes side of things. Obviously, it was a great weekend for them. They're 3-0. I mean, they have what, two games left on the season? It's not a heck of a lot here. They beat San Diego State, a Mountain West school. That was frustrating for many reasons. I have a hard time because I try to, you know, I definitely attend more CSU things. Honestly, I live in Fort Collins, so it makes it easier. The drive to Boulder is crazy, or it used to be. So I usually pick local within 30 minutes. You know, UNC, I do a lot with the basketball side, and then I try to make it out to CSU stuff. But I also have to take the fan hat off because I love all of these teams, and I have to look at it and say, that doesn't seem right. I mean, why did the Buffs end up playing San Diego State? Well, they couldn't play USC, so they needed an opponent, and it was a Mountain West school. Well, okay, they must have been adopting all the same Pac-12 protocols, and they were willing to travel to Boulder. So, okay, there you go. Was CSU willing to travel to Boulder? And if they were, why didn't we have the CU-CSU game last week? That's where I'm frustrated. But again, I do not like to be that guy that just quickly paints a picture as, oh, this game should have happened between CSU-CU. If the Pac-12 says this is a rule, you have to come to our turf if we're going outside the Pac-12, and you also have to practice our same protocols and all that. And you have to be ready to cancel it on a moment's notice up till, like, I think Friday, was it Thursday night or something they gave that the Pac-12 could change that if a Pac-12 opponent became available by Thursday night. So the question is, was CSU willing to do all that? Were they willing to basically be cast aside on a Friday morning if CU found another opponent? And were they willing to travel to Boulder even though the originally planned CU-CSU game was supposed to be at Canvas? So before we, like, go off on this whole Mountain West Pac-12 thing, you got to answer those questions first. And I got to be honest, I've heard from both sides that one side in Boulder's kind of saying, well, it didn't sound like they were willing to travel. The side up north in Fort Collins was more or less like, we don't know that information. So you tell me. Either way, it doesn't look great. I know CSU fans are upset by it, but X's and O's wise, Colorado's putting on one of their best seasons that, unfortunately, maybe you don't really care about. Sam Noyer's fun to watch, man. I mean, he's not like throwing it all over the yard, but he's running nice. He only had 12 yards, but he's one pick. You know, he's playing careful football. He's exciting. I know, careful, exciting, those are two different things. But it's exciting when you're not turning the ball over left and right, when you're just making the plays that you need to. And you don't need to throw for 250, 300 yards when you're running the ball for 134 yards. Jarek Broussard has been sensational. I mean, he carried it 32 times, man. I mean, when you can do that, you're going to win so many football games. If you have a running back that warrants 32 carries, obviously it means you're doing something right early on to add more carries to that. I mean, he has 432 yards on the ground and three touchdowns, three games. It's a guy that wasn't listed to start. And he's a sophomore. You got him for a long time. You might have another special running back there. So that's pretty exciting if you're a Buffs fan. Chenaults apparently are just growing on trees in Boulder because now LaVisca's brother, Levante Chenault, six receptions, 64 yards. I mean, he's solid. Katie Nixon was good. Jerry Rice's son, Brandon Rice, two receptions for 16 yards. I mean, it's just kind of a complete team. And then Nate Landman, what a monster. This guy's going to be in the NFL. Maybe he's a first rounder. 11 tackles, three sacks, and a pass deflected too. So he has been sensational and good enough to earn some big time honors as well. I think he was the Pac-12 defensive player of the week too. So yeah, you I know it's a weird season and it just doesn't feel right. Nothing really feels right about this whole thing. But he's playing outstanding. Yeah, he was you know, he's going to be on that Butkus semifinalist watch list, too. He was the national, you know, I'm sorry, it wasn't Pac-12. It was the player of the week, the national player of the week. 57 after the hour. When we come back, a busy 1 o'clock hour. More on the Broncos situation. Where do you go from here with this whole thing? And, yeah, what's next for CSU and UNC? We'll find out. We'll at least look at what we know. Coming back in just a moment. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.